Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
So we turn to our second point, against God. Did you see Nehemiah's prayer? Kind of intense. It says, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins. They have thrown insults in the face of the builders." This is kind of a pretty intense prayer. Nehemiah is basically almost, you can almost put it in quotes, calling down a curse on these folks. He's not happy. But what is he not happy about? We'll get to that in a second. First of all, when trouble comes your way, right? When the devil comes to stop your progress, when others come to stop your progress, when they're jealous and envious of your success, right? When that first thing happens, what did Nehemiah do? He turned to prayer. He didn't fight back. He didn't scream back. He prayed. He prayed first. He started talking to God, not to those who were opposing him. The second thing he did is he prayed urgently, "Hear us, O God." I think we've all probably prayed this before, where we have said, "God, I need you right now. I need you here right now. I need your presence, and I need your throne, and I need a little bit of that heaven power. I need it down here on earth in this moment. Join me in this moment." Continue to pray that way, and you will see the power of God show up in your life and make things different. They prayed first. They prayed urgently. He prayed honestly. See, that's a raw prayer. Those are raw emotions. He's hurt, and he's a bit intimidated. He's trying to figure out, how am I going to get through this without you? And so the rawness comes out. Listen, church, don't ever be afraid to speak in a very raw and even inappropriate, if you want to look at it that way, from our way to God. Be real. Be honest. Lose the church language. You don't need it. You don't need all that pretty stuff that we say sometimes. And we say it because we mean it and we want to give glory to God. But there comes moments in time where there is a moment of intimacy that is missed when you try to pray the politically correct prayer of, "God, help me in this moment." No. "Lord, I am hurting. Lord, I feel lost. Lord, it's burning down. Lord, I need you now. Lord, show up. I am hurt. I am angry. I am anxious." Say it. And in that raw moment of emotion, there was a supervisor that I had a long time ago within a varsity. His name was Paul. He came down with a very serious cancer in his throat. And he was a great speaker. He was a great writer. And it totally upended his whole life. And he said something to me over the phone one time that I could barely understand because they were reconstructing his throat and his vocal cords and everything. And he said to me, "You know, I learned to curse in the presence of God." And I was like, "Man, are you crazy?" But you know what? It makes total sense. Because he was just being, "Lord, this cancer is destroying me." And he filled in with a couple of choice four-letter words, right? But in that moment, he says, "I have never been closer to God before." Because now there was no cute trappings. There was no cute dressing up. It was my raw heart. "Here is where I am. Would you meet me here?" Church, pray honestly with God. You're not going to scare him. You're not going to intimidate him. He's not going to be afraid of your language. But don't miss that moment of connection. Because the moment that you are raw in that fashion, all of a sudden you will begin to have new eyes to see what God is beginning to do, and you're going to start to say to yourself, "Oh my goodness, he's showing up, and he's working, and this is real, and there is power here." And that's where the relationship deepens and matures and really gets rolling down the hill, as they say. Pray fiercely, and here's where we arrive at his prayer, just so you understand it. We live in a politically correct society, and we must be careful with that. As much as we must be respectful, we cannot compromise the word of God. It is paramount over what our society thinks is important. And this is what Nehemiah is doing. That's why when I read it to you again, I wanted to read it one more time so you would hear the rawness and the political incorrectness of it. He's calling, he's telling God, "Don't forgive them." That's pretty intense. Because you have a God of righteousness, but a God of mercy. And he's saying, don't show them mercy. Why is he praying this way? Very simple. Because they were attacking God's work through Israel. They were trying to hold back what God was doing. They were interfering with the movement of God in that land. They were trying to stop these individuals from being instruments of holiness and of righteousness and of goodness in that area. They were not attacking Nehemiah and the workers. They were attacking the intentions and desires of God himself. Make sure that you understand that. That sometimes when we hear some of these stories in our society about something happened at a church, and I know there's a bunch of controversy now with churches trying to open and can you and can't you. And listen, it's not an attack on that pastor or that congregation. It's an attack on God. It's the human, the continuing human desire to push God out of the center and be our own gods, the Adam and Eve inside of us. It's still there. Nehemiah is insulted. He is fierce, not because they're going to attack him, not because they're trying to stop the wall being rebuilt, not because Israel's existence is literally hanging in the balance. He is mad because these individuals are resisting the agenda of God for them. They are trying to tear down the land that God gave them. Church, we need sometimes to be a little bit upset when our society tries to go against the scripture. I'm not asking you to become one of those Facebook warriors that writes insulting things to other people. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand. Don't go home saying that and don't put it on Facebook because I don't want to get in trouble. All right? I'm kidding. I don't mind trouble. It kind of follows me around. But anyway. But when it's time to stand up for God's righteousness, it's time to stand up for God's righteousness. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? When you hear it and it falls outside of his way, when it falls outside of what brings him glory, when it doesn't honor him, that's where Nehemiah is. And that's where we need a little bit of that in us. A little bit of that fire in us. And yes, there are times where we need to pray, Lord, please, this is happening in our society. It does not honor you. Would you fix it? Because it's not bringing you glory. Pray that God would use you as an instrument to bring his glory and his righteousness right around you. That you would be a holy place. That everything around you would be a holy place as well. That's what Nehemiah is praying for. And look, church, in the end, as much as Nehemiah prayed this prayer, notice that he kind of leaves it open-ended. In other words, let God judge. Please, in our society right now, as charged as the atmosphere is, with everything from the virus to politics to whatnot, church, don't be the judge. Share your peace kindly, respectfully, according to the word of God, but leave it in God's hands. Leave it in God's hands. It's not your place. It's his place. And that's what Nehemiah did here. Let prayer lift you up. After Nehemiah prayed this prayer, the wall was halfway built. Let prayer lift you up. Seek it. Seek it. Because in between the trouble and the struggle, right, they were fatigued, they were tired. We'll get to that in a second. And the trouble, the blessing of God is in the middle. And if we can find that middle place in between the trouble, right, and the struggle, right there is where the blessing of God is for us. Let prayer lift you up. Let it comfort you. They said, our God, you're not alone. You're not alone. He's with you. Let's not pray prayers to get rid of the problems. Let's pray prayers to help us cope with the problems and see God more clearly through it. Different kind of prayers. Our third point, against all odds. Notice here it says, Sanballat, Tobiah, Arabs, the Ammonites, they all came towards the wall. They were angry. They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem. So Nehemiah's facing a challenge from the outside and one from the inside. Let's talk about the outside first. Here you have these four groups who get together. And imagine that you're kind of putting rocks on a wall and you're building and it's under the hot sun and you're doing. And all of a sudden you see an army come over the hill. And, you know, Gaston, right, the bully, Sanballat, is in his horse in front of it. And then you have Tobiah off to one side of you. You have the Ashdodites on the other side. And you have the Arabs coming up from the south. And you are surrounded. You don't have soldiers. You don't have an army. You barely have a city. You don't have a wall. And you are surrounded and you are defenseless. Nehemiah was facing an incredible challenge from the outside. Church, Why did they do that? Why did they try to intimidate? Notice that they don't attack. They try to intimidate. They mock, they insult, they show up, they surround to intimidate so that they would stop the work, so that they would retreat and be afraid. Church, listen. When you face trouble from the outside, when it seems that you are surrounded by it, when it seems that it's going to collapse on you, listen closely to what I'm about to say to you right now. Don't you dare put your hammer down. Don't you dare stop building your wall. Don't you dare stop working for God and for Jesus Christ. You keep chipping away. You keep marching ahead. You keep building and let God take care of the enemy, because your God is greater. And that's what Nehemiah said when he told the people, he says, our God will fight for us. So let them surround you. Let them insult you. Let them mount attacks against you. Let it feel like the walls are closing in on you. God is bigger and God is stronger. Don't you dare stop working. Don't you dare start marching towards God's destiny for you. You keep marching ahead to the beat of God's drum, no matter what they do around you. And now look at the other side of it. What happens on the inside? Notice what they told. It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah inside said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild. You want to know when you're demoralized? You want to know when you're disheartened? You want to know when you're staring more at the enemy and at the trouble than at your God? When you start making excuses. When you start making excuses, you're asking people to feel sorry for you, but deeper than that, you're asking them to validate the fact that you have stopped walking with God. So the excuses start to pile up. Well, you know, this happened here, and well, you know, I couldn't make it because of this, and well, you know, this happened here, and well, you know, so excuses. No excuses with God. March forward in His strength, not yours. Keep building in His strength, not yours. No excuses. Look at what Nehemiah says. Do not be afraid. God will fight for us. It says that they came to him 10 times over. That's just Hebrew speak for they kept coming to say, we're in trouble. If you guys leave, they're going to kill us back here. You adapt. Nehemiah adapted. Well, if they're going to attack our families in the city while we're walking on the wall over here, we're going to bring our family with us. And everybody's going to carry rocks. The building of the spiritual wall in our churches, homes, families, you can just keep going. It's got to be together. Do it together. Carry the rocks, carry the hammer, do the work together to build it. Don't look at the enemy. Look at Christ. Keep your eyes vertical, not horizontal. I remind you what Paul said about trouble. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not here behind me. I'll read it to you. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Because we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Listen, part of the walk with Jesus is suffering. Paul said, it's a trophy that I hold high. Because when I suffer for Jesus, I know I'm walking for Jesus. Because an unbelieving world does not understand someone who would actually walk for Jesus. There is blessing in the storm, church. Please don't ever think that when you're in the middle of a storm, there's no blessing. There's blessing in there. There's blessing waiting for you. Look for it. When God allows the storm to come, the storm has a purpose. And typically the purpose is to bring you one step closer to God. And you're saying, the storm is meant to do that? Yes. God allows the storm sometimes to roll through our lives. He allows us to walk through the valley, not to hurt us, not to push us to an extreme, you know, not to tempt us, because God can't tempt. He allows us to go through it that we might step one step closer to Him and see Him ever more clearly. We begin to close. I love Nehemiah here at the end. It says, first of all, he looked things over, right? He kind of took a step back and he looked over the situation. Church, don't act rashly when the storm comes knocking at your door. When you are surrounded, take a step back, look things over. And like Nehemiah, pray. Talk to him first before you talk to anyone else. The second thing he did, Nehemiah, when he came up to talk to the people, he was dressed for battle, not for work. Please know this, and I come back to what I said at the beginning. To walk with Christ is to battle a little bit every single day. Come dressed for battle. Don't come dressed for a picnic. Notice work in one hand, sword in the other. Come dressed ready. Ready to work. Ready to fight. And then I love that Nehemiah, when he finally has everybody together, look things over, he's dressed to address them for battle, not for work, he shares his faith. Notice what he says. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Don't be afraid. Church, all of us have been there already, probably multiple times, where we have been surrounded by trouble, where it seems that it's coming at us in waves. And this morning I say to you, do not be afraid. Your God is greater. And that's what Nehemiah says. Remember that your God is great and he is awesome. The next time trouble comes calling, take a step back and take a look around. The God who put the moon and the stars and the sun in its place, the God who made this entire universe, the God who created the trees, the animals, everything you see around you, the God who shaped you in your mother's womb, that God is the one that stands with you. Tell me, what is there to be afraid of? The answer is nothing. The power of God, and with Christ, you will overcome. And then I want to finish on this note. To make sure that we finish turned outward. I always like to finish turned outward. Notice what he says here. He says, fight for your family, sons, daughters, your wives, and your homes. The fearless Christian who faces down armies, who rebuilds, who does not stop, who does not waver, who will not let himself be distracted or herself be distracted from the work that God has put in their life, doesn't forget about their neighbor. There are those, even in church, that trouble just overwhelms them a little bit quicker. Where the storm just scares them a little bit more. Where an army coming over a hill forces them to look down instead of looking up a little bit quicker. Stand at their wall and defend them. And let that person know, whether they're a friend or maybe they're like the person who sits on the other side of the church or the people, let them know that they have someone in their family of faith that will stand with them no matter what. You will stand on that wall for them, and you will not allow anything to hurt them on your watch. We're not meant to just protect ourselves and protect our families and build up the pieces of our life that God wants us to build that we might honor him more, but we are to help and to protect the other. As I said at the beginning, we're supposed to encourage others to move even ahead of us, but now the text finishes by telling us we're supposed to protect those who can't protect themselves. You know your friends. You know your family members. You know your coworkers better than I do. You know the ones that will get swallowed up by a storm cloud. Maybe it's a small one, a little bit of rain, and they're like, ah. You stand for that person, and you let them know, I am here for you. And your enemies will not overwhelm me while I am here, and we will build this thing together. But that means that you have to sacrifice a little bit of your life that they might be saved. A little bit of your life, that they might be rebuilt. A little bit of your life, that they might step more into the way and will of God for their life. Church, would you do that for another? Would you do that for another? As Jesus Christ stood for you, I encourage you today, stand for another. And this is how the fearless individual tackles trouble, especially when it surrounds us from all sides. And I pray that Nehemiah's moment rebuilding his wall for his people, beautiful Jerusalem, beautiful Israel, will be a blessing to you this morning. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you fight for us, that you go before us, and that we are not alone. Teach us, God, to remember the great things you have done in our lives, in the lives of others, in our church, that we might know that the next time that trouble comes calling and we feel surrounded, that you will fight for us and you will protect us, and that you will protect us that we might continue to walk in your will and in your way for us, that we might continue to rebuild our lives, or maybe build up a new area in our life that will glorify you, that would bring you honor and praise. I pray, Father, that wherever we might find ourselves this morning, wherever we might be in our journey with you, that we would be both fearless as we stand for you, Jesus, and that we would also look around and lift up our brothers and sisters who might be struggling under the attack, who might feel surrounded, who might be going through the storm, that we would align our lives with theirs, that we would stand on their wall, that we would protect, maybe even guide them, Father, but that we would hold their hand through that valley until they come out on the other side. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would both bless us and use us as blessing for another, that they might also step into fearless living for you. We pray all these things in the very precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.